Good evening, everybody. It is 6:30 on a Monday evening. It is time for the Third and Footlong Show on Planet FM 104.6. My name's Darren Leith.
And I'm DT. How are you feeling?
DT. Do you like my nice husky voice?
Yes, it's very lovely. It sounds like I said to you before, a 1930s jazz singer who's just come out of some bar after smoking too much.
Yes, I feel like I've smoked about 700 cigarettes in a 24-hour period. So this is Darren Leith, not in the studio, unfortunately.
I'm to keep perfectly happy not being
DT. Yeah, my good friend DT, healthy after a pretty miserable 4 days, it would be fair to say.
Yes, and it sounds like it may be continuing for you for a few more days.
I actually got the feeling, though, you know, that this is now going to become an annual tradition, because what you may or may not realise is it was this weekend last year where I dialed in from Charlotte because it was the Clemson-LSU game.
I think
so this
you...
this must be the weekend whenever I just dial into the station.
I think you refer, though, last year you were in America, whereas this year you're just plain old sick and still in New Zealand.
That's right. I certainly didn't sound like this last year, that's for sure.
No. You did look a bit tired, though, after a full-on day of football.
Oh, and having to drive home from the wrong county, having flown into the wrong place, then yeah, having to fire a car. So as always, everybody, welcome to the show. Apologies for my voice. Hopefully you can understand me. But don't forget to tap into our socials, YouTube, Spotify, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, where you can access any of our polls and get first access to any of our content. How was your weekend, DT?
It was very full of football. It's back.
Oh, it's way back as well, right? There was a lot. I mean, we added in those college week zero games. I don't even know if we even needed them, right? Because it actually fell on the weekend when it was roster cut weekend as well.
Yeah. So it was just all go, all football, all weekend.
Did you have to work, though?
I did do a bit of work, but that's all right. That's what it is. I just forgot to watch my football, though, so I'm happy.
I've got breaking news for you.
Are you? Oh, do you want me to play the breaking news thing for you?
Oh, if you want to.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important announcement.
Go for it, Darren.
So last week I was in Sydney, and I flew over there for a couple of reasons. One, I was meant to be in a two-day conference. And then the other was my daughter was due to have a grandchild. When I informed my colleagues that my wife had come down sick overnight, I was then banned from attending the conference and had to sit in my hotel room for 2 days down the corridor from my colleagues attending the conference. But the breaking news is there was nothing in my hotel room, so I actually drank a bottle of water.
Oh my God. That is breaking news, Darren. You're actually hydrated. How does it feel for the first time in your life to be hydrated?
I don't know. I felt unwell, so I stopped that. And today I've just made sure that I've carried on drinking Red Bull and cola and eating Focal Zones for the hell of it.
Your body's probably having an adverse reaction to feeling water for the first time.
It only feels it when I get rained on. So I ended up getting locked in a hotel room for 2 days whilst everybody else went wine tasting and going out to dinner and stuff like that. But the good news was I got to see my daughter, and she was very heavily pregnant, by the way. The baby arrived.
Nice.
The good news is the baby arrived. The bad news is it was 1 hour after we got on the plane.
Oh, no. But congrats on a new grandchild. That's still cool.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much indeed. So yes, I've been recovering from the flu most of the weekend, which has given me the excuse to lie in bed or lie on a couch and copy you and just watch games.
Watch football. Yeah, that's what it's about, isn't it, Darren?
Well, that's what this show is, apparently. I was like, oh, is that what we're meant to do? I thought we just dialed in. Talked some nonsense for about 45 minutes and then threw in the odd football fact here and there.
Nah, all football all the time now for the next, 20 weeks of our life.
I'm in a chat room in central Otago, right? Mm-hmm. And this guy in this chat room said, hey, does anybody else like the NFL? So I used that as an excuse to offer a blatant plug of our show by copying our YouTube page and posting it into this random chat room.
I hope he subscribed.
I'm going to have a look and see, and I'll we'll see. But apparently he's a 49ers fan, so.
How's he going? I wonder if he's going to the game.
So we're trying to take it now just from the North Island show out into the South Island. Look at us go.
I know, look at us go.
So that was a good part of my weekend. It looks like if it wasn't suffering the flu, it was just watching games of football.
Apart from the flu, it sounds like a nice weekend to me.
Yes. Yeah. Tonight, I think when I finish this show, I'm probably going to treat myself to two glasses of whiskey and see if I can kill the infection by just using alcohol instead.
Isn't somebody something British thing called a hot toddy or something? Can't you do one of those?
Yeah. I don't know how that works. I'm not sure I'm British enough for that, but maybe someone in my family understands. I've got some news about one of your friends as well.
I'm very concerned when you say it that way, but yep, go.
Your dear friend of the show.
Oh, John. How's John?
Yeah. Me and him were at an awards dinner together on Friday night.
Oh, did John win an award?
He did.
Oh, congrats, John.
He won a Service to the Industry Award, which is one of the biggest awards that you can be given.
That's very cool. Good job, John. You should now come on our program to talk about your award.
Yeah. I don't think he's very thankful to me because I kind of invited him to the awards without telling him the truth of why he was there.
Oh, no.
And he spent the whole week saying, why am I even going to this dinner? I don't even want to go.
But he had to.
Yeah. He even nearly changed his mind on Friday. I'm like, don't do this to me. I can't present this to nobody.
Oh, dear.
So there you go. So that was just capping off the weekend. That was that.
Oh, nice. Congrats, John.
Excellent. So should we kick off with some fast food facts?
Let's do it.
Whoa! That's impossible.
That is correct.
Wow.
I don't know why it is. I feel like I've got low energy tonight, and I feel like I'm as boring as hell. So I'm hoping that I'm not as boring as I feel. But hopefully if there's someone listening to our show for the first time, I'm going, God, this bloke's so dull. And he sounds like a massive smoker. But the food poll this week was the fantastic full breakfast. And I've stopped myself from calling it a full English breakfast because there's also a full Scottish, a full Irish, and a full Welsh, by the way. So I'm going to give you some history and origins of the full breakfast. So it's medieval roots. The meal started with 14th century wealthy landowners who served massive meals and bread spreads to show hospitality. It was a Victorian status symbol. The middle and upper classes adopted the heavy breakfast in the 19th century to show off their wealth and refined tastes. Really? Bacon and sausage? Refined tastes?
I like how much is just people showing their wealth across the centuries.
Well, I say, I have two sausages that I can offer you. Aren't I wealthy?
Oh, God.
And then something close to my heart, because where I was born was pretty much where this started, the Industrial Revolution. Factory workers later ate the high-calorie meal to gain enough energy for long physical shifts.
Where they weren't paid well.
No. And I was born right in the heart of the Industrial Revolution, so not at that time before you say anything. Although today I feel like I was born in that time.
Honestly, your voice sounds like you were around at that time as well.
I know. They say, would you like a high-calorie meal? Ingredient facts, New World Editions. Now, this is not from the supermarket New World. This is just New World Editions. Tomatoes and potatoes, or tomatoes and potatoes, used for hash browns or bubble and squeak, are native to the Americas and were not added to European plates until the 1500s.
Damn,
that's interesting because I don't think Was America even around in the 1500s? Anyway, baked bean arrival. Canned baked beans did not become a staple until after World War One, where they were popularized by Heinz. Hash brown newcomer. Hash browns are an American import and only started replacing traditional fried bread on British plates in the 1970s.
Blah.
Calorie count. A standard large fry-up contains around 1,050 calories.
No,
Do you know what? Do you want to know the funny thing about this? I was writing this on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and into Sunday morning, and I showed it to my wife, and she just looked at me, and both at the same time were like, why are we both so ill that we can't go out and buy these ingredients? Because just talking about a breakfast.
Yeah,
and
sounds
I think
good.
You had the same. Did you not have the same thing?
Well, you also.
You were like.
You texted me at like 8 a.m. in the morning and was like, and I was like, I don't have any of these things at home, Darren. This is just mean.
Why would you do this?
Yeah.
So it's 1,050 calories, which is about half an adult's recommended daily intake. Do you know what? For the food you get on a large fry up, I remember in the UK when I used to eat one of these, I never ate anything else for the rest of the day.
Well,
but you don't need to.
No, it's a massive.
I actually think it's actually a good. I actually think it's a good return. Bacon and eggs marketing, as we can tell by my appetite. The pairing of bacon and eggs as an American breakfast staple was famously popularized in the 1920s by public relations pioneer Edward Bernays via a campaign commissioned by a packing company.
Bernays, and is then, he like suspicious plant for Bernays sauce? Or
yeah, I was going to say yeah. Or is it, what do they call it, Weekend at Bernays? And then, of course, the regional variations. Scotland adds square lawn sausage, tatty scones, or potato scones, and haggis. Gross. Wales often include lava bread and edible seaweed puree. Gross. And cockles. Gross. The full Irish frequently incorporates white pudding. Probably gross. Alongside traditional black pudding.
Yep.
Totally gross. And soda bread, which my wife's had soda bread and she absolutely loves it.
It's really good.
Yeah, we had it. She had it. Where did she have it? She had it in a bar in Queenstown. There was an Irish pub down in Queenstown and she had soda bread there.
I kind of thought you were going to say somewhere in Ireland.
God, no.
Like wouldn't
be as, we wouldn't be as cultured as that as to actually go to the place where it was.
Oh, Cork.
Hell no. Cork.
Cork.
So, so there's my food facts on the Great Breakfast.
Shall we see what people are saying on the food poll?
We will see what they are definitely saying. So the comments, only a few this week because I was so lazy to be sick and not post the poll out until late, so I didn't give people a fair shot. But of course, Corin's there. Craig Westenberg told me that his version of a big breakfast was a black coffee and a cigarette. Classic Craig. Emma, fried and plum tomatoes and an extra dollop of mayo. Now I'm starving reading this poll. Kira, I'll take a McBrekkie wrap. No, you won't. You'll have a full English breakfast and you'll deal with it. And then she came back by going, can't go wrong having an iced chocolate fizzy alcoholic drink in the morning.
What?
What? That's not a full English breakfast. So I think she's talking about like a vodka and Coke for breakfast, which I don't know whether she got that off me when I was working from home during COVID because I would sit there at 9, 10 o'clock in the morning in meetings with what seemed to be a glass of Coke, but was slightly laced with vodka. This list, to be honest, is for oldies. Wow. Wow, Kira. This list is for oldies. Well, next time I cook a full breakfast, you won't be invited. So let's go through the numbers. So other, I don't even know what other is on this poll, 5%. 5% wanted coffee, 5% wanted tea, 2% wanted ketchup, 7% wanted HP. Come on, HP sauce. 8% wanted hash browns, 8% wanted baked beans, 8% wanted fried bread or soda bread, 5% wanted black pudding, get out of here, people. 7% wanted tomatoes, but then our top meal, so if you were pulling together the iconic breakfast of everyone that voted in this, they all ended up with 10% each. It was mushrooms, eggs, sausage, and bacon.
That sounds like omelette.
It kind of does, doesn't it? It's like, why don't you just have a ham and pork omelette?
Yeah.
Ham, pork, and mushroom omelette. So that was it. But then, of course, topped by the Sauce of Champions, HP Sauce. So there you go. And if I'm not mistaken, that's probably our last food poll for the next 4 months.
I know, because we're all about football now.
It is. Unfortunately for all those people that come to this show to listen just to this part, you're going to have to start watching the NFL and college football, and then we'll just bring you on the journey with us.
We will welcome you as fans. And we are fans of all 32 teams, aren't we, Darren?
No. We are for the show, yes. But in my private home, no. But, yes, so if you want a team to support...
Yes, I think we will do some news. Should we start off with the news of today?
Yes, and it's probably the worst kept secret ever. You hit it.
Aaron Donald signed with the Rams on a 1-year deal, $20 million guaranteed, up to $30 million in incentives. And everyone was just so shocked at this news that he was coming out of retirement.
Yeah, fancy that. Oh, my wife's just texted me and gone, something's gone wrong with your mic. It's not working on the radio.
My mic or your mic? I can hear you perfectly fine.
My mic. Can you?
Yeah, I can.
So I don't know what's gone on the live stream, but apparently all of a sudden I got a message because she's in the car. And she's gone, oh, it's working now. It was just very glitchy at one point before the news. There we go. So, yes, Aaron Donald is back. You see, this is a lovely romantic story, but he's still been out. I know he's super fit and he's not that old, but sometimes this just doesn't work.
Yeah, there's a lot of money as well.
$20 million for a guy that hasn't played for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I mean, this could be amazing, right? I mean, he doesn't need to come back to go to the Hall of Fame.
No.
He's the 3-time Defensive Player of the Year. He's won a Super Bowl. Like, he does not need to do... He must be just looking at that roster with Myles Garrett going, yeah, this is the one, you know?
Yeah, you kind of have to. Like, you have to. To have Myles Garrett and Aaron Donald on a line is a bit insane.
It is, but, you know... I don't always... I'm quite happy for someone in 8 weeks' time to write to the show and go, what were you on about? They are destroying teams. But, you know, this is a big risk, I think.
Well, I think he's probably actually not going to play much in the regular season. He's probably just going to play his... I think his player required 8 games to be eligible for the postseason. So I think he'll just do that and just come in when required. Like you normally do on a rotational pass rusher, you just don't normally pay them $20 million.
No. I mean, that's a decent chunk out of the salary. You hope that he has been training and he doesn't come back and tear something in week one.
Yeah, that would be my main fear.
A lot of money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Team rosters this weekend were reduced down to 53. There's been releases all over the place, but if anyone's looking at a team now and thinking that's the final part, then there's team waiver requests that go in tomorrow, and that is where people can start to pick off all of those players that have been released on waivers.
Yep.
So there's going to be more activity to come.
There's also been a lot of late rounds draft pick swaps for players as well. this weekend, trying to get them before they hit waivers. So that is also fun, with one of the more notable ones being the Dolphins trade for another Packers quarterback, Carl McCourt.
Yes, and that was with Quinn Ewers going to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yes.
Goodbye. And then on top of that, yes, goodbye. On top of that, Bobby Okereke.
Yep, signed.
The Giants going to the Carolina Panthers.
Yes.
So they obviously weren't happy with where they were at that position.
No, and the big one, Steelers trade former 2023 first-round pick offensive tackle Broderick Jones for a fourth-round and a fourth-round pick to the Cowboys for a third and sixth-round pick. So it was another big trade.
Jerry Jones does not mind a reclamation project, doesn't he?
No, and they didn't overly give up much for it either.
What was surprising, a lot of teams keeping three or more quarterbacks.
Yes, with the Vikings keeping four.
Practice squad. Yes, I think the Steelers kept four, which Mike McCarthy said that he was going to do.
I think the Steelers' four quarterbacks are better, though, than the Vikings' four quarterbacks.
Wow. Everybody was expecting J.J. McCarthy to be down the road, right?
Yeah, I guess he's just waiting for a trade partner.
Yes. There was a lot of hype building on the Denver Broncos channels that Jared Stidham could go because of the $8 or $9 million per year. But
yeah.
They kept him and they kept Sam Erlinger, which was quite a surprise.
Erlinger played well as well this week.
He did. He did play well. And the one which was also a surprise was, despite being injured for most of the preseason, the Carolina Panthers kept Haynes King, which tells you they're probably quite high on him.
Yes, because he has not really practiced and or played for a few weeks.
No, because he did have that hamstring injury at the end of the Hall of Fame game.
And he was an undrafted free agent. So he's not even got draft capital attached to his name that you're keeping him because he was a third-round pick.
No. On top of that, the Seahawks and Pro Bowl defensive tackle Leonard Williams agrees to a three-year, $90 million contract extension.
And the sale for the Seahawks has officially gone through with the owner a passionate Steelers fan.
Nice. The Dolphins have traded wide receiver Tutu Atwell back to the Los Angeles Rams in exchange for running back Jarquez Hunter.
Yes, and the NFL revealed too much controversy for some teams. New rivalry jerseys for the 2026 for AFC South and NFC North. What did you think of them? Did you see them?
With my colour blindness, I always struggle to get really angsty about them. I did see the headlines, but there was so much football that I kind of put all my attention there, to be honest.
I think the main focus is, which I loved and I thought was fun, is the Jacksonville Jaguars now have cheetah pants. They have cheetah pattern pants. It was amazing.
That kind of looks like, it kind of looks like they should be in nightclubs with 70-year-old people.
It's fun.
So cheated up.
They also have all the gold on the uniform as well. It was quite a bold uniform.
They also, today, Roger Goodell announced his commissioner's exemption list.
Yes.
Which Josh Jacobs and Jonathan Cooper of the Denver Broncos are both on that.
And Terry and Arnold.
That's
of the
correct.
Seahawks,
so this does not exempt them from suspension. This just means they'll be held out for a minimum of 2 to 6 weeks whilst the commissioner waits for more information. It sounds like Josh Jacobs is pretty serious.
Yes. All three are actually pretty serious allegations.
Yeah. Cooper is filing his plea tomorrow. Or today at some point, America time. So we will know more about Jonathan Cooper's position. But I would probably say you're probably looking at a minimum of 6, potentially 8 for all of them.
Mm-hmm. And other police-related news, Keenan Allen was arrested for drunk driving after the game.
Ah, perfect. Mm. The Packers are signing tight end Johnny Smith, while head coach Matt LaFleur states he anticipates that running back Josh Jacobs remains with the team, which he did. So
they also traded for Steelers running back Caleb Johnson as well.
They did, which tells you. And when you look at the Broncos as well, they kept a decent amount of cover in case Cooper doesn't come back. Obviously, two big decent injury updates. Jamar Chase suffered a minor knee hyperextension. an Ashton Gentry experienced an ankle scare.
Yes, an ankle sprain. And Giants wide receiver Calvin Austin is out for the season with a torn ACL. So that's their wide receiver and kick returner gone for the year.
Is that the Giants? Who's the head coach of the Giants?
John Harbaugh.
Has he got history of this? I don't know.
Yes. Actually, in related news for the Ravens, Kansas City traded for offensive tackle Diego Pounds. So obviously they were not satisfied with their offensive tackle position.
And I didn't do any college news because we're in college week zero, so I thought we'd just dedicate all our college time to reviewing games.
Yes, the one bit of news, though, that I think we should cover as our former team, Deshaun Watson is named the Browns starting quarterback for 2026. What were your thoughts, Darren?
Disgust and disappointment, to be quite honest. The way that he treated the fans and the way that he spoke, I don't think he is the head coach's choice. I do not think the head coach wants him started, but I think the owners have said we are not having $47 million sitting on a bench. Well, if I can give some advice to the owners, and I wish I could look in a camera and give them this advice, but I can't. So I'm looking in my computer as if I'm looking at a camera.
Jimmy Haslam.
Just to the owners, yes. Do what the Denver Broncos did.
And the Miami Dolphins.
Yes.
Lots of teams have done it now.
And just deal with it. Yes. You're not competitive anyway, so it doesn't matter. Just get rid. You made a terrible decision bringing him into the team. You should never have ever have even offered a contract anywhere near that. Just take the pain. Get rid of him. No one else wants him. Look what happened to Russell Wilson. Look where Tua is going to probably likely end up. Take the pain. Invest in the future. You're probably going to end up with one of the top five picks again this year. Deal with it.
Do you reckon Arch Manning will go to the Browns, though?
No. That would be just such a disgraceful waste of talent. But Arch Manning's going number one. And he's going, imagine if Miami do end up with the worst record, which over the weekend looks like they are going to end up with the worst record, will they take a quarterback given that they've got Malik Willis?
Yeah, I reckon they will.
You would think so, right? I mean, what they want to do is they probably want Malik Willis to look good and then they can trade him for a third or something.
But yeah, well, they're trying to build a roster and then insert the quarterback later, which is what lots of teams are doing as a strategy, which is a better strategy to do because then you insert a cheaper quarterback into a talented team.
Well, it's really how the Denver Broncos have been able to rebuild after the Russell Wilson thing, right?
It's how a lot of teams have rebuilt. It's what the Rams did. It's what, like, it's the strategy to do at the moment is you get a quarterback to come in and be your patch quarterback so you can build the rest of the team so you have some sort of stability to see what talent you have at wide receiver, running back, tight end and whatnot. And then you go and get the quarterback who will be the difference maker to get you to the Super Bowl.
I'm not being funny, Jimmy Haslam, but you are not winning that division. As a matter of fact, you're not getting off the bottom of that division. And Deshaun Watson isn't even going to be playing after week four. So just take the cut. Just get rid of the money. Yes, because I think they owe him 50 next year as well, right?
Yep. Well, I don't know if it's guaranteed, though. I don't know if they maybe waived the injury.
It was fully guaranteed, wasn't it?
I know, but then he had so many injuries, I thought they did rejig it a bit. Because you know how he had an Achilles injury and then he had a second Achilles injury off-site doing recreational things? Apparently stepping off a yacht or something.
Must have been stepping off a massage table or something. But Denver took something like 50 in year one and 30 in year two. And they nearly went to the Super Bowl in year three.
Lots of teams, like the Dolphins have done it, the Giants have done it. It's like lots of teams do it, just do it. Like it's not an embarrassing thing. There's many teams who have admitted defeat and got rid of their quarterback. It's not like a weird thing. It's not unique.
The likes of us and the entire league will have a damn sight more respect for you as owners if you actually rip the Band-Aid off and get rid of the cancer that's in your club.
Yeah.
So, should we go to NFL preseason week three?
I think we shall.
Enemy in range. Victory.
Oh my God, when you said you had new music, I was not expecting that.
I told you it was weird.
It was. I thought that was coming for College Week Zero. I was kind of expecting the squeaky door for pre-season Week Three, but a plethora of games in Week Three.
Yes.
Should we go through them one at a time?
Sure, let's blast through them. Steelers versus Bills. Will Howard did not have any time to throw the ball.
No. Buffalo Bills, I've got to say, have looked pretty good.
Yeah. I don't think anyone thought they were going to fall off, but it's just, are you going to make a Super Bowl? That's the only question for the Bills, really.
Yeah.
Also, Josh Allen called someplace today as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say for the future?
I don't know. I thought it was sad, though. Frank Gore Jr., who I did think had a pretty good game, is actually now being cut from the Bills. That was sad.
I am stunned by that because he had an amazing game.
Yeah.
He played really well.
He will end up on a roster somewhere.
He is definitely going to end up on a roster. So, I don't think Aaron Rodgers played a single minute, did he?
No.
For preseason?
Nope. No. I don't think he was ever going to, really.
No. Way below him to play in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the Bills looked good. And then our former team.
Browns versus Patriots.
Had some form. 37-13 against the New England Patriots.
Do you know what I am sad?
Dylan Gabriel
is now on the injured reserve and he's out for 6 weeks.
I know.
I was sad.
Would he have made it if he wasn't? Because the injured reserve means that he doesn't have to be in the 53, right?
Yep. Taylen Green was retained by the Browns and he is so good running the ball. I feel like he has to convert to wide receiver or tight end or something. Because I know you don't like him, but he is fantastic when he runs with the ball. He should be a wide receiver of some sort.
I don't mind him, just not as a quarterback. I mean, what was he? 5 of 7 for 27 yards? I mean, you can't be a quarterback playing like that. But his running was
fantastic.
He's a great runner. I mean, but you can't have him as quarterback because he can't put the ball through the air. He can't drive it. If I remember Taylen Green from last year or the year before, whatever it was, he was Bryce Young-esque with 160 yards a game of throwing. And that's
he is actually a better quarterback than people give him credit for. And also, like Bobby Petrino, he did have a top 25 offense last year for Arkansas. It's just our defense was... I would say there was just no one on the field, really, was what happened.
Yeah.
I think the whole half of that team forgot to turn up to the game, and then people just did whatever the hell they wanted on the field.
Just the training cones, yeah. The San Francisco 49ers, 18. The Las Vegas Raiders, 12.
The Raiders, look, they're going to have an exciting run game with Mike Washington Jr., I reckon, and hopefully Genty comes along this year. They're not going to be a good team this year. I'm sorry, I can't get behind the Raiders. They just have no one to pass to. They had the starting pass catchers on the field, and you were looking at what would equivalently be like third or fourth stringers on most NFL teams, and that was their starters. Yeah.
What has amazed me is after the first game, everybody was on this huge... Fernando Mendoza. And now all of a sudden everyone's like, maybe he's not actually that good. And I'm like, give the guy a break, will you?
Yeah. No, you have to be instantly amazing in this league. It's really difficult, I think, mentally for most people.
I just find it amazing how the narrative around Fernando Mendoza, and don't get me wrong, he had a rough game.
Yeah. Two sacks, one INT. 57 yards.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot going on there, so...
there's not a lot going on around him, though. Like, I don't know what you're expecting from someone when they have that around them. That he has Brock Bowers as his only outlet, really.
Yes.
And then hopefully a good running game.
They haven't really fixed that wide receiver room at all.
No. And who knows about the offensive line?
Yes.
Chargers versus Rams, Battle of LA.
Yes, DJ Uagalelei, or however it's pronounced, he's been cut.
Yes.
Gone, despite starting that game. But to be honest, where was he in college? Was he at Georgia or somewhere like that? Or
No.
He was somewhere. I can't remember where he was.
It wasn't Georgia. It was somewhere else.
He was never that good. He was never that good. So, do you know what I mean?
But DeRozier, you know, for the Chargers, running the ball, he was that man was everywhere on the field. When you were watching that game, it was just DeRozier all over. And I was like, "What? Who is this player? I've never heard his name before." And he ran for over 118 yards.
Another solid performance by Ty Simpson. Starting to make me look stupid now.
Well, he has got Sean McVay. Like, he's got a lot more support.
I know, but you've still got to be good.
Yeah, no, he does look good. I think he's going to be a good Rams QB in a few years. Yeah,
he looks better under McVay than Mendoza looks under Kubiak, and I wouldn't say that Kubiak's a bad quarterback.
No.
Justin Herbert burnt the place up before he went off, as he usually does. Two or three, 74 yards, one touchdown. But to be fair, it wasn't the postseason. So had it have been, then maybe a different story.
Yeah. Ravens versus Commanders. Joe Fagnano has made the Ravens roster. They are keeping three QBs.
Yes. So
undrafted free agent.
What do you reckon to the Ravens? Because that is a big win. I mean, this is so Ravens, right? Because they always... Didn't they have like a 22-winning streak? Yeah. This is what they do, right?
I don't actually think... I think that game, that score says more about the Commanders than it does about the Ravens, if I'm being honest. The Ravens were fine, but the Commanders were atrocious out there. It was all the third team for the Commanders, so there was absolutely no one starting who was out there on the field, but it was bad. They barely put up over 150 yards of offense on the day. It was shocking.
And third and fourth down, they were 1 of 14.
It was bad, Darren.
3 sacks, 7 punts, 9 penalties for 93 yards, 1 fumble lost.
I do want to give a shout-out to Clemson, since we know a Clemson fan is listening. Clemson player Adam Randall, the wide receiver turned running back project, has made the Ravens team and did look quite good out there running and receiving. So, yay, Clemson.
Yes. That's about the only thing that Clemson are going to be any good at, because they're going to get smashed this weekend.
Nah.
Dolphins 12, Falcons 17. What a borscht fest.
But also, Tua Tagovailoa has not done anything to win that job. Michael Penix, if they were going to say in week two Michael Penix is starting QB, you'd be like, yeah, sure, because Tua has done nothing to win it.
No, that was toilet.
Fumble
City.
Tua
got 7 of 8, 95 yards. But Cooper Rush was 13 of 18, 106 and a touchdown. So Jack Strain got cut. A lot of people thought that but they had no rushing game. They had zero rushing game. So, I mean, I know they did have Deshaun Robinson and what that, but what an absolute bore fest that game was.
It was hard to watch. And just so many fumbles as well. Honestly.
Yes.
Panthers versus Texans. I felt like I learned absolutely nothing from this game except the fact that the Panthers' defense pass rush was just swarming the Texans' backfield. Other than that, I felt like nothing really came out of this game.
Yeah, I don't think you learned a great deal. The Texans didn't really play. Brett Ripien has to be one of the worst quarterbacks ever.
He's cut.
Along with Kyle Trash.
Cut as well. Both cut. Both
but
gone.
I think he'll end up in the practice squad, but Texans barely mustered 170 total yards, couldn't break 100 in passing.
But the Panthers' defense looked good out there. I don't know because it was so many backups on the field.
I mean, the Panthers are 3-1 in the preseason. I still don't see where the whole Bryce Young thing is with them at the moment. I really don't.
Chase versus Bucks.
I think, just on the Panthers, I think they've been really robbed with Haynes King being injured.
I hope so he'll come back.
Bucks.
Jalen Daniels has been named the backup QB for the Bucks this year.
Yes. But my word, Bucks, 87 total yards
for
the entire game.
It was really bad.
31 total passing yards. Did they have Justin Field starting or something?
It was so bad. What was interesting though is the Jags running backs, they have since cut them, the two running backs that did quite well in the game.
Yes.
And Hunter Long has been traded to the Cardinals, who made quite a big catch for the Jags as well.
Yeah, you could see why they, when you look at some of those numbers, you could see why they've traded for Quinn Ewers.
Mm-hmm.
There was not much going on out there.
Nope.
That's for sure. Next game?
Snoopy Bowl, Jets versus Giants. Giants with 401 yards of offense to the Jets, 139 yards. That's really all you can say about the game as to what was going on out there.
Well, Cade Klubnik did absolutely nothing to cement any place in that team. 6 of 13 for 59, an INT, a lovely passer rating of 27.4.
And the Jets kicker missing multiple times.
I know.
I'm sorry, Jets fans. I really am sorry, Jets fans. I don't know what to say to you.
You kind of look at Aaron Glenn and you go, it's going to be a pretty short time for you.
Mm-hmm.
What happened effectively, the Giants just ran all over them, didn't they?
Yep. Eagles versus
174.
Bengals? Eagles, again, not Bengals. Looking that good.
No, and the Bengals not looking too bad, considering that they didn't have most of their starters in there.
Mm. I've heard Carson Steele has been cut from the Eagles. Travel was interesting because I actually thought he had a pretty good preseason in the games, but he has since been cut. But he had eight receptions for 52 yards and one touchdown at running back.
Yeah, Andy Dalton. I thought he was finishing when he left the Panthers, but he's back. Appeared again. Josh Johnson, 12 and 19.
I know. He has also been cut by the Bengals, but I think the 40-year-old QB will probably find a team somewhere. He's been on, I think he's up to 16 teams or something ridiculous like that.
It was interesting because the Bengals had one less yard passing than total Eagles yardage, and they had one more rushing yard than the Eagles' total rushing. So the Eagles, again, they didn't have a lot of players out there, but they just didn't look great. Tanner McKee looked terrible. 12 of 22, 55 yards, 41 passer rating. I don't even know how the hell that gets a passer rating, to be honest with you.
Packers versus Cardinals? The best game of the weekend. The Cardinals really delivering this preseason with some good and entertaining games. Both teams combining for over 700 yards of total offense, with the Cardinals having 500 yards on the day.
I think I said this to you before we started. The Green Bay Packers are giving me Cincinnati Bengal vibes from last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh yeah, you can score 38 if you want. We'll just go and score 42.
Yeah.
They scored a lot of points against the Broncos the week before. The Broncos were pretty flaccid during that game. But, releasing Cole McCord, 22 of 35, 226, four touchdowns.
And now traded to Miami.
Yeah. Very interesting. The Cardinals, Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
7 of 9, 126, one touchdown, 155.8.
A solid backup option. Solid backup. Sometimes an underrated fact. You need a solid backup.
But the Packers basically came and stole this.
Yeah, well, they just made less mistakes in the Cardinals.
Yes.
And also the special teams punt return, kind of. That was it. That was the difference.
Yeah, you could kind of tell that the Cardinals are a team in sort of transition at the moment, right? Mm.
Well, they have been for years.
You go from the best game of the weekend to probably the toilet game of the weekend. And that is the Chiefs 9, the Seahawks 9.
Milroy did look good out there for the Seahawks, going 16 for 26 for 223 yards. He looked all right.
Garbage. Not even going to waste my time on that game. Cowboys 24, Saints 27.
Saints offense looking consistent out there.
Needed it though after the week before, after that tonking that took the week before.
And off-season darling Camden Brown has made the Cowboys roster, so he had also had another good game for the Cowboys.
Yes.
I think it's just another solid showing for both teams going into the regular season.
Yes.
Broncos versus Vikings. I think the Vikings forgot to show up. I think, I don't know where they were, but they didn't feel like they were on the field.
0 points in the second half for the Minnesota Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely toilet.
3 for 13 on third down.
Yes. Yeah. What can you say about the Vikings? They don't look like they're going to be good this year.
The run game also really struggled, which is not a good sign.
No. Whereas the Broncos had a few breakouts here and there, but...
Cody Schrader.
Yes, who didn't make it.
No. Colts versus Lions, our team for the year.
Our team.
The Lions had almost 200 yards rushing on the game, though, so that was good.
Yeah, only 6 points in the second half. Josh Dobbs. Anthony Richardson just didn't look amazing again, right?
He has been kept on the Colts roster, though.
He has, yeah. Riley Leonard, terrible. 3 of 7, 48. It was... Neither of these teams looked amazing.
The Sailors, so it was a pretty strong running game for the Lions, going for 100 yards.
Well, if you're also positive on the Lions. The Lions, 13 of 19 on third down. Every possession must have gone to third down to have 19 third downs. Insane.
The Colts did actually play some starters, which was surprising.
Yes.
Titans versus Bears, big special teams plays in this game.
Yes.
Bajan also looking really good for the Bears, 16 of 17 for 2 touchdowns and 208 yards, the backup QB for the Bears. And I've just thought I'd give a shout out to your wide receiver from LSU, Xavier Thomas. 5 receptions, 1 touchdown and 40 yards from LSU. 140 yards from LSU.
And Will Levis,
gone.
See you later. Wow.
Gone.
What a criminal thing to happen to one of the best 32 quarterbacks in the NFL. Which is how he classes himself, by the way.
Yes, no, I did see that. I did see that. Yes. We have about 10 minutes left.
Conscious of time. Yes, I'm very conscious of time.
Do you want to do college or Monday Night Showdown?
Shall we do college very quickly? I reckon we could do a minute a game here. We're going to take on the world.
Wake up! There you go, Darren.
Wow, you have gone all out on sound effects tonight.
I have.
You have not disappointed yet again.
No, I said they are incredibly weird and unique and absolutely no one will ever copy them.
You mean like our theme tune, which are our theme tune, which everybody's now copied.
I know. You've got to be unique, Darren. North Carolina versus TCU, Dublin game.
Well, a tough game because they obviously played the only day in the Northern Hemisphere when it decided to rain, because it hasn't rained in the Northern Hemisphere for about 6 months, apart from when they turn up in town.
It rained last year as well for the Iowa State game, I remember.
I know, but they've had 5 heat waves. It hasn't rained forever. And then it was a bit of a ball fest. North Carolina coming out on top, 15-10. Yep. Which would have pleased Bill Belichick. He refused to talk to the press afterwards.
That's not really shocking. TCU could have won this game, but they just had some mistakes and some bad penalties, which really just led them to lose it. But they could have won it, but they didn't.
I've got to be honest, North Carolina gave me 5 and 7 vibes.
Yeah.
They're not going to win a lot of games this year.
It'll be interesting, because that's where Bobby Petrino ended up. So it'll be interesting to see if he can turn the offense around. Because he did turn the offense around at Arkansas in his previous times as well. But yes. If you want to move on, San Jose State versus USC. This was an utter blowout, an absolutely utter blowout. Oh, my gosh.
Oh. Well, there's two things about this game, right? One, it was 35-3 after three quarters. So 42-26 doesn't really tell the actual story.
The other fact, so in quarter three, USC had over 500 yards of offense and San Jose State had under 100 yards of offense.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that stat.
USC had about 20,000 people turn up to watch the game. The stadium was empty.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All the fans are blaming it on the weather, to which a lot of people have gone back and go, oh, here's a game where you played San Jose, where it was about 10 degrees warmer and there was 82,000 people there. So where were you, USC fans? But USC... you kind of think that their head coach has really got to do something there this season, because he's flattered to the seat. Lincoln Riley has been the quarterback whisperer, so it'd be interesting to see what happens.
But
absolutely destroyed them.
And then shall we move on to another utterly dominant win by Virginia versus NC State? Yeah. Another blowout. Complete annihilation. Complete annihilation is what I have here. Virginia, ran all over NC State, put up 258 yards rushing.
What I want to talk about with NC State is that they got down to the 2 minutes. They got under it, and they used all their timeouts to make sure they got the ball back. And then they did absolutely nothing except run for 3 yards at a time. And I was like, what on earth was the point of that?
Look, CJ Bailey was trying his best out there, but there was just no offense for the Wolfpack today. New Mexico State versus Florida State.
Can I just ask you a question about Bo Prabula?
Yep, Prabula. Yep.
Is he just giving you Diego Pavia vibes?
He's running a lot. He put up 258. so there were 258 yards rushing, and Prabula went for 100 yards of rushing on his own at QB.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He was kind of giving me Diego vibes.
I know. How much you love Diego Pavia.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I'm not watching another year of this at Virginia, surely.
New Mexico State versus Florida State. Again, New Mexico State struggling to run the ball against the Seminoles, rushing for under 50 yards on the day.
I mean, everybody was talking up Florida State. I didn't think they were amazing. Ashton Daniels looked pretty good in parts. 17-27, it's okay.
It was mainly the FSU rushing game that did it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Trey Head in the third didn't actually look too bad. But they just could not convert.
It was, FSU coming early with the win. Memphis at UNLV. Yeah. I thought this was the best game of the day with almost 900 yards of total offense. It was by far the most entertaining one.
Oh, 100%. And UNLV should have won that game. Memphis were a bit all over the place in parts.
What was interesting is UNLV very strong for the whole game, but Memphis after the halftime came out and they had a completely different defensive plan and were managed to shut down UNLV in the second half. It was really the Memphis defense that put the game away with 6 sacks and only allowing 3 of 15 on third down.
Oh, that at the end, was it that last drive?
Yeah, it was the last drive.
Literally steamroll of them.
Yeah. It was just,
literally steamroll of them. They were like on 3rd and 37 or something like that.
Yeah.
Sack. Yeah. 4th and 37, so much stupid like that. So
Arnold, the defense. QB for UNLV did play really well today though. Apart from that.
Yes.
Terrible sequence.
No, he did actually, yes, absolutely. I thought both QBs were relatively Stokes and Arnold both played well.
Yeah, they were both fun to watch. I really enjoyed watching this game. Especially after the previous New Mexico State, Florida State wasn't too bad, but especially after the NC State and San Jose State games. Yeah, I needed something.
Yes, and it delivered. So we've got 6 minutes to go. Shall we have a quick? So it's over to me for the Monday Night Showdown.
Do it.
So I've got two. I had two parts to this because I thought we were going to struggle for showtime. How wrong was I? So I've split it into two. Number one, which of the division winning or perfect record teams do you feel better or most surprised about? So these teams, after the preseason, the divisions were updated to represent where teams stood.
Okay.
So they were either 3-0 because some divisions, like the AFC North, had two perfect teams. Which ones do you now feel better or most surprised about out of the Bills, the Bengals, the Ravens, the Rams, the Broncos, the Panthers, the Packers, the Cowboys, or the Jaguars?
Panthers, Packers, Cowboys, Jaguars.
Jaguars.
Okay. What of these? I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Turn around and go, actually, the Bills are way better than what I thought they were going to be, or something like that.
I think the Packers, if you're going to feel like who surprised me the most, the Packers surprised me the most. If I'm being honest, I'm still not very high on them. Just, I think, with the pieces that are currently injured on their team and they've had a bit of turnaround, I'm not sure. I think they'll still be competitive because I don't think the Packers are not a competitive team. I just think I was very surprised by their off-season games. I thought they played hard in all of them. The other team that surprised me was mainly because you didn't really hear anything from them was the Cowboys. They had a pretty solid off-season and there was no weird Cowboys thing going on, which there often is with them, so I was a bit surprised by them as well. The Jags I'm not feeling super hot on. I hope they come better in the regular season. I do think their running game, though, gave me hope in that they did seem to have good depth, even though they don't have a star running back at the moment, although everyone seems to love Basil Tootin for fantasy. The Broncos, I don't really feel any different about them from their preseason. I think they'll be a good team, competitive team this year, so I'm not, like, nothing really changed for me. Same with the Rams as well. I don't really feel any different about them. The Bengals, I need to see it in the regular season. And I also, the Bengals, I think, can be a good team. It's whether they're going to stay healthy. That's the thing with the Bengals. That's not really, otherwise they're fine, if you know what I mean. Like, if you have Joe Burrow, you have all your healthy pieces, and Jamar Chase had the big injury scare this week, I think you're going to be hopefully okay if your defense is better. But again, the Bengals actually haven't made the postseason in quite a few years now, so they're not as great as I think people want to make them. And then the Rams, I feel no differently about. The Ravens, I do feel slightly more comfortable with where they're at. Just Lamar Jackson and all of them seem to be in a slightly happier place, and that's, I think, always good to see from players. Again, they're another team that, similar to the Bills, I wasn't really expecting them to do poorly in the preseason. You kind of, they're meant to make the postseason and they need to go to a Super Bowl. Otherwise, you're just kind of tired of talking about these teams. If they don't make a Super Bowl, there's no real, if you don't make a Super Bowl, you've failed for both those teams. So that's why I don't really feel that differently about them.
Interesting thing about the Bengals, second lowest amount of points conceded.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third highest point differential.
Yeah, I just, again, if Joe Burrow gets injured, you're done. That whole team's gone. Bye.
He has
to be healthy.
Yeah.
I don't think you can actually say much about the Bengals for the pure fact they rely so heavily on Joe Burrow that if he's not there, you're gone. Bye. Like, goodbye. Go join the Browns over there. Thanks.
I'm going to give you 2 minutes on my second one.
Sure.
So, which of the zero winning teams or divisional basement dwellers mm-hmm. do you have the most concern about? And I've got eight of them.
Okay,
the Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Eagles.
Yep.
Seahawks.
Yep.
Texans, Dolphins.
Yep.
Saints, Vikings.
Yep.
Steelers, Colts.
Steelers, Colts. Chiefs, I'm not particularly concerned about. They play basically no one in the preseason. Eagles, I would I'll talk about them in a second. Seahawks, I am a bit concerned about because their head coach does seem to be kind of concerned with how they're playing. They're not playing up to a standard that he wants them to play at. I'm not sure maybe if they did lose too many key kind of team culture pieces in the off season, so that will be interesting to see what happens with them. So I'd say I'm slightly concerned about the Seahawks. Again, Chiefs don't play anyone. Texans, again, they didn't really play many of their starters this preseason, so I think have to wait and see what CJ Stroud is going to look like in the offense, if he's going to be more comfortable, if he's going to have people to, they just traded for Kayshon Boutte this week, if he's going to have pass catchers to go to. So really, the Texans defense, I obviously feel, will be fine this year. I don't think they'll have much of a step back if they're going to have any. The Dolphins are kind of who I thought they were, so it was not surprising. The Saints, I thought, actually looked solid in their game, so I'm pretty comfortable with the Saints. The Vikings, oh dear, they looked so much worse than I thought they were going to look. I don't know if maybe Brian Flores has just lost too many pieces on his defense and he can't quite stitch them all together. And then the offense, obviously the quarterback issues, I wonder what it's going to look like in the regular season. Maybe Kevin O'Connell doesn't normally show much in the preseason, so again, I don't quite know what that's going to look like. The Steelers are the Steelers. I'm pretty comfortable with who they are as an organization. They've got a bit of drama with paying Joey Porter at the moment, so that is interesting as to whether that will be kind of what happens there. But anyway, I think we have to say goodbye and we'll have to talk about this at another time, Darren.
We will.
But thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening in. We will be back next Monday at 6:30.
Our diversity.